Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Just witnessed the incredible Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament that just benefited the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. But when it comes to your insurance needs, oh my, they've got you covered there completely. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, they're going to find you the best coverage at the best price. And if something happens, if it happened to them, they're your partner in this. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Very proud to be in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Great to see Tom Mertz the other day. Really great to see him. Matter of fact, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sean, good Monday to you.
Good Monday to you as well, sir. Speaking of routes 11 and 15, in Shamokin Dam, just for those listening, caught word of a traffic accident within the last 15, 20 minutes. That's at the intersection of routes 11 and 15 and Park Road. Definitely affecting travel going south. But if you're heading out of Sewell's Grove, heading up towards Shamokin Dam could affect your travel as well by a few extra few minutes. So keep that in mind as you're on the strip.
All right, so do that as time goes. And, just watch out for that as you go through. All right. Great to have you with us today. Mike Conti will join us from Atlanta today. We'll talk about Matt Ryan's brand new contract. I mentioned once, I've mentioned probably 100 times, maybe more than that in this show. I mean, this is the seventh year, so I probably mentioned more than that. Look, everything in life is about timing. Whether it's love, loss, financial gain, whatever it may be, job. I mean, timing means everything. If you're an NFL quarterback and you've shown a level of competence, your timing is just right to get a big contract. Right. Timing. Well, for Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, and now for Matt Ryan, the timing can't be any better. Can't be. They've shown a level of competence in a league, as you just saw by the NFL draft with 5 first-round quarterback draft picks. Not one of them is probably a legitimate first-round pick. No, not one of them. To me, the closest probably is Sam Darnold, being a legit first-round talent. But the timing is perfect to get into this league. If you have the ability to play the position and it looks like you've got some semblance of competency, it's going to pay off for you. And that's what it comes down to. So, Matt Ryan's going to get $30 million a year. And then the part, normally when I talk about a long-term contract, I usually mention, hey, look, it's the guaranteed money. You have to make the team to get the rest of the money. That doesn't apply in this case. Doesn't apply in Matthew Stafford's case either. Doesn't apply in any quarterback's case. Just doesn't. mean, remember when Drew Brees signed that 5-year, $100 million deal and $60 million was guaranteed? You knew darn well he's going to get the rest of it. What are you going to do, cut Drew Brees? Hey, come on. They cut Drew Brees, they've got no shot. None. Believe me, Matt Ryan has this big contract. He'll fulfill it, and he's also a guy that has been able to stay healthy. He's only missed two games in his career.
Yeah, speaking of staying healthy, last week the Steelers, they announced that they were going to pay Ryan Shazier what he was going to be owed this year, but they moved it over to a complete signing bonus. So you got the capologist in play, making sure that the, you know, the teams don't go over the cap. So yeah, you do have situations like that, depending on team and depending on roster. But now with Matt Ryan in this great deal, I'm kind of crunching numbers. Wonder what Aaron Rodgers is going to get.
I don't know, but here's the key, though, with the Ryan deal, at least the first 2 years up front. He only counts for 10% against the cap this year and 12% next year. It's not until you get to the third year where now it becomes dicey and thorny for Atlanta, where he becomes 16% of the cap. Hey, So it's not how much you get paid a lot of times in this league. It's what it's worth against the cap. Because you can restrict your team so much at one position. And the Baltimore Ravens are a perfect example of this. The second Joe Flacco got that big contract, suddenly their flexibility changed because he meant so much against the cap. So, we'll talk with Mike about that. The Penguins play tonight. Obviously, there have been moments where Washington has played really well. And they deserve to be in front in this series. Because remember, the Penguins are winning a game the other night at Washington where Nicholas Backstrom is suddenly out. And, of course, Tom Wilson's already out. So it's actually Washington playing shorthanded and won. But the Penguins have been their own worst enemy from the blue line in. They have not played well defensively. They have not played all that well in front of Matt Murray. Yes, it is obvious, it doesn't take a genius, that Chris Letang is really struggling right now. And a lot of it's decision-making.
Phil Kessel started to look a little better on Saturday night. He was involved in one assist on one goal, but I think the bottom line is with 81, you got to start scoring some goals. But the one thing for sure with Washington, they want to clinch this thing tonight. The last thing they want to do is go to a Game 7, even though it's going to be at home and even though Tom Wilson would be back in the lineup for the Caps on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Well, the Penguins are going to have to play really well tonight. They're going to have to take advantage of home ice. And this is going to be... it's an elimination game. And since it's an elimination game, whatever the Penguins have, they're going to throw at them. I mean, they got Malkin back. I think Malkin's played well. I think Kessel's played better. Problem is, defensively, they just have not been able to get the job done. And a big part of that, no offense, but Chris Letang, who's been a big reason why they've won Stanley Cups, he is a reason in this series where it's like look in the mirror time. You're not playing well.
Oh, yeah.
His decision making just has been. His decision making has been surprisingly off. Now I could do this show the way the Phillies post game TV show was done. Did you see that yesterday?
I did not.
Oh my goodness! What was one guy named Ellis? Last name Ellis.
Correct.
I don't know. I don't recall what the other one was. They were using words like awful, terrible. It's on and on and on about how bad the breakdown was for the Phillies late in yesterday's game.
It was Rob Ellis. He normally, he'll be on some of the in-studio stuff from time to time.
Well, he wasn't enamored with what he saw. Wow. I mean, he went at the team pretty good. He went at the team pretty good.
Yeah, another bad day with the bullpen for the Fightins yesterday.
It was not. Look, it's that you're winning. That's lousy. It's not good. Execution was lousy. But it was almost personal. It's the only thing I saw. And I'm sitting there for 5 minutes, and I mean, is it a Philly thing? I mean, I have no idea, but he did not leave stones unturned. He went after him pretty good. And so, whomever the co-host was, so did he. I think the co-host, obviously, would be a former player. I don't know which one.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see Ricky Vitalico on there in studio.
I don't think so. I don't think it was him. But they went at it pretty good. And they attacked the Phillies pretty hard. But, I mean, the Phillies are still a team in a lot of ways. Not an old team. But, oh well. The game that they probably had won yesterday, and they fouled it up. That's not great. The Pirates won 9-0 yesterday. LeBron James, the shot he hit on Saturday night against Toronto. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy have that kind of stable mid-air body control better than him. I mean, he's going to his left. He's shooting with his right. And he still makes sure that even in midair, he is squared up and snaps off a shot that he banks in to win the game.
Yeah, right in front of the Toronto bench. It almost kind of looked like he was gliding toward the sideline. I mean, that was not a stop-and-take a jumper for sure.
But I mean, I look at that turnaround jumper that he has. That turnaround jumper is remarkable. And again, what is the key? The key is he has the ability to elevate, turn, but have his body square up in midair, which then allows him to shoot the ball. Now, he has to do it quickly. But that's what strikes me. His ability to square himself up in mid-flight, which is not easy to do. And a quick show of hands out there. How many of you out there can do that?
Not me. It's funny because and I watched that Saturday night before going to bed live, and the first thing I thought of was the Michael Jordan shot top of the key against Craig Elo in the Bulls Cleveland Cavaliers, ironically enough, mm-hmm. against Cleveland, and just how many times we have seen that on the highlight reel. I'm thinking this is going to be a shot we're going to see on the highlight reel 20, 25, 30 years from now. It was that impressive of a shot.
Right. I mean, it was that impressive. And the same thing, when he shot the ball over Craig Elo, Michael Jordan, a right-handed player going to his left at the foul line. This was floating in midair, and he used the glass. I mean, my goodness. He used the glass. You've got to be absolutely squared up to do something like that. And to do that in midair, wow.
And he looked like he was in complete control when making that shot. It wasn't anything wild and crazy with the ball going up in the air.
You know, you could talk about how Toronto played it, didn't play it, whatever. Oh, my goodness, the guy made a spectacular shot. How could Toronto let him do? Okay, excuse me, you're going to let a guy, well, how far was he, 15 to 20 feet from the basket, somewhere in that range? So 15 to 20 feet away, float to his left, shoot a right-handed shot, bank it in, right? And you're complaining to me about how Toronto let him have that shot? I mean, sometimes the guy just does something that's great. I don't talk about LeBron James that often on the show because I just figure the rest of the sports world does enough talking about him. You don't need me to say, hey, he's pretty good. I mean, who needs me to do that?
And I thought of that last week. There just seems like all those, you know, the first takes, the FS1 show with Skip Bayless and, first things first. It just seems like, man, just seemed like lately they were talking so much about LeBron James, but if he keeps making shots like that, I mean.
Well, yeah, but, okay. For them, it's a ratings game. They want to be talking about stuff that moves the needle. It doesn't mean they're talking about anything important. All right? Remember, for ESPN, the more they can talk about LeBron, the better, because they carry the NBA. So they're going to talk about him over and over and over again. Because they're carrying it. Just like when it comes to a North Carolina Duke basketball game, they're going to be there for 2 days, no matter how good Duke or North Carolina happen to be. I mean, North Carolina was a good team this year. They weren't a great team. And Duke was very good with a bunch of one-and-dones that Mike Krzyzewski complained about the team chemistry back in December about. But they carried the game. So since they carried the game, they go all out on it. So it's got to be on every single platform that they have. Well, that's with LeBron. He's got to be on every platform that they have. I'm listening to a SportsCenter thing. Jason Day won the tournament at the Wells Fargo yesterday. The first thing anybody said was, Tiger finished 2 over 55th. By the way, Jason Day won it. Okay, again, is it the right way to do it? No. Is it the way to get eyeballs to the set? Oh, what did Tiger do? Because Tiger, again, is the dominant figure. Look, is LeBron having a great playoff? Yes, LeBron James is having a great, great playoff. Not just good, he's having a great playoff. Exceptional. One of the best we've ever seen. And you look at what he's been able to do against Toronto. We did it in the opening series. He's been just off the charts. He's been great. I give him all the credit in the world. You know, he's getting older, yet playing better. Playing smarter. And when he has to take over, he takes over. When he has to get other people involved, he gets other people involved. He is a great, great player. Has he become much, much better at shooting from the outside? My goodness, absolutely. But to me, it is his ability on tough shots where he understands how to square his body in midair that allows him to have any semblance of a shot to make a shot like that. Like I said, we don't talk about him that much. We talk about other things because, I mean, look, we have a different audience. We're going to talk a little bit of wrestling, you know, not all the time. I mean, we'll talk a little bit of wrestling. We're going to talk about some of the issues that are enveloping college sports, such as, you know, where's amateurism? What about paying athletes? You know, because it affects what you're going to watch as a fan in this area. You're going to watch the Eagles. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the Phillies. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Sixers a little bit more. We're going to talk about Penn State, talk about Bucknell. Right? So we don't have to talk about LeBron James and Tiger Woods unless the topic warrants it. And last week I talked about, you know, and Bob Buehner and I were talking about that, about, you know, Bob said, you know, we don't have any heroes anymore. And it's not just the hero. You've also, in sports, it's part hero, part anti-hero. Hey, John McEnroe, to some hero, others, I want to see him lose and somebody shut him up. I mean, that's how it plays out. LeBron falls in that category. Somewhat Tiger Woods falls in that category. But who else falls in that category? Maybe Tom Brady? Maybe? Nobody in hockey. Yeah, baseball, is nobody in baseball. I mean, the Yankees is a franchise, maybe. You know, people who love them right down to the absolute end. There are people who want to see them lose every single game. Look at that high price group. Watch them lose. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Next half hour of the show coming up as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Here's Adam Purdy with another example of how Purdy Insurance is different.
I was at home one Saturday when I got a call from a client who had just been in an auto accident with a rental car in Canada. After confirming that everyone was okay, I checked his policy and assured him that we had the proper coverages in place. Within a few minutes, I had his claim called in and he was back to enjoying his vacation.
Purdy Insurance has been answering calls like this for over 90 years.
Give Purdy Insurance a call today at 800-677-2478 to see what we can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Why? Pretty easy. You want to go to the best. I don't care whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever your insurance needs may be. They'll find you the best insurance so you're completely covered. They also will make sure they find the right price that fits your budget. There's a claim, they jump right in as if it happened to them. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. That Purdy and that Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament probably raised between $20,000 and $30,000 when it's all said and done for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Another great day, great moment. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Looks like we are going to get a guest on tomorrow to talk about the NBA and the playoffs. The Celtics and Sixers play tonight. And the Cavaliers and Raptors play tonight. Look, the Celtics have just, their defensive rotations have been outstanding. Outstanding. They've kept the Sixers off guard because of it. And not only that, Boston continues to be a really, really good outside shooting team. Their ability to knock down key threes has been remarkable, not only in this series, but throughout the season. And Al Horford, Terry Rozier has been great, Morris has been great, Tatum's been terrific, but they've got that rudder in Al Horford, and Al Horford has been just terrific. That rudder that every team needs. All right. And then, of course, we've talked about LeBron. LeBron has been... This is the best I've seen him in the playoffs and all the great years he's had in playoffs. The shot he hit against Toronto the other night, remarkable. Now, Washington will play tonight against the Pens in Pittsburgh. And Pens, of course, now we talk about must wins. When you're down 3-2, it is a must win. So that does qualify. Must win is improperly used many, many times, not in this case. Can they play well enough defensively tonight? That I don't know. Chris Letang, who normally has excellent on-ice instincts, for whatever reason has been struggling with his instincts. Now, part of that may be people are out of position. I don't know. But it has been a struggle for him in the series. They need him to play well tonight. They need that. And I always laugh at this. Say, for example, the Penguins come back and win. Just say they do. I always love this. You'll then start to get from Penguin fans the Alex Ovechkin jokes. Okay. Ovechkin, by the way, I think has been outstanding in this series. I think he's played really, really well. High level. But then but this is the part I always love. Anytime your team wins, I always enjoy hearing a segment of the fan base say, God, they were lousy. Yeah, but they're not that good. So in other words, you beat a team that wasn't that good. What? So in other words, you beat a team that really isn't that good. That's what you just told me. So that means, in reality, this is not a fulfilling victory. Well, I didn't say that. I always enjoy when I hear that. They weren't that good. Really? So you beat a mediocre team. So it really wasn't that great a win for you. Oh, no, it was a great win. You just told me the team wasn't that good. Oh. Some of you say the darndest things. I always love that. They aren't that good. Okay. You say so. Boy, that's all they did was they won the Stanley Cup and they beat one mediocre team after another. Based on what you told me. Ovechkin, he's not that good.
No, I'll never say that. I mean, let's just, like you said, I mean, it comes a point in time you just got to say, hey, they're a better team than us.
Well, this is the only time I've ever picked Washington to beat Pittsburgh. And I picked Washington when the series began because I looked at the two teams, and the part I wasn't comfortable with was Pittsburgh's defense. Now, whether Washington could, I mean, because you listen to their crowd. Their crowd is apprehensive whenever things don't go right. Why? Because of past history. They've seen them not succeed before in certain moments. So even their crowd gets a bit apprehensive.
Yeah, that's why they need to wrap it up tonight. The last thing they want to do is to go to a game 7, and you're right. They'll think about, you know, Caps teams of past. It's like, oh, are we ever going to get out of this round of the playoffs? It's like, oh, that's right. The Pens have our number. Well, tonight you can put the foot on the throat and move on.
But see, again, I disagree with that thinking completely. I think the media and the fans think about that because the media and the fans have lived through it. I think the players are sitting there for the most part going, okay, what are we going to do to win this thing? They're like locked in on what they have to do.
And I think that's what makes Mike Sullivan a great coach. I mean, he keeps it very, very simple. They, you know, all they have to do is say, hey, if we limit our mistakes, we like our chances, and we can force a game 7.
Well, I mean, it's what they have to do. And if, you know, if, I mean, for Washington, again, I think the fan of a team is there for the duration. So they remember all the ups, all the downs. You know, you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You remember Bobby Brister. You remember Tommy Maddox, Charlie Batch, on and on and on. Right? Cliff Stout.
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't bring up
Mark Malone.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring up Cliff Stout.
Right? I mean, the current Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't even, I mean, the Cliff Stout's a name on a wall.
Yeah.
Tommy Maddox, they don't care about that. Now, they do recall, now, if they get in a position next year where they've got a chance to win the AFC, the ones that played against New England and got bounced, the ones that played last year in the semifinal and got bounced, right? They're going to remember that part. Yeah, they remember that part. They lived it. I mean, they lived it. So that does come into play. But the parts that you don't live don't mean anything. You know, it's, I was on a show last week. And on the show last week, I was asked about Saquon Barkley. I mean, that was the premise of the show, was to talk about Barkley. And I started talking about great running backs of the past, and I said, look, to me, he's the most comparable in terms of all-around skill set since Kurt Warner. And the two guys said, well, how about like something a little more contemporary? I sat there and went, okay. Now, see, to me, Kurt Warner is contemporary. But Kurt Warner was also almost 40 years ago. He started his freshman year was 1979. So you're talking about 39 years since his freshman year. So more contemporary to them. I mean, even Kajana Carter would be on the outskirts of contemporary. And that's what's interesting about putting things into perspective. What you know as history does not match up with someone else's semblance of history. And that young people, for example, they wouldn't know Kurt. They think Kurt Warner played quarterback for the Rams. Right? And the Cardinals. That's the Kurt Warner they know. They don't know Kurt Warner, the running back. So a fan has a little different feeling about, oh, they always choke every time they go out this level. These guys don't know that unless they lived in one or two of them. Now, Ovechkin would feel it a little bit. Backstrom probably would. Carlson probably would. Then there, Holtby probably would. But there are others, so they're going, whatever. Didn't happen under my watch. Let's go play. It is a little bit different feel than for the player than it is for the fan. I read Peter King's article in Sports Illustrated in the actual magazine about Cleveland. And you talk to a couple of season ticket holders. And they were going back through their history as fans. And one of them was sent a season ticket renewal by the team. And what he did was he photographed the finger next to his index one, sent it back, and said that's how he felt about renewing his season tickets. Well, then when the deadline eventually came up, he's like, this might be the time. So he renewed. But he's lived through all that, okay? Now let's take Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is walking into Cleveland having nothing but success the last few years at Oklahoma. Now, he knows what has happened in Cleveland, but he hasn't lived it. Nick Chubb hasn't lived it. Denzel Ward hasn't lived it. The fan has lived it. They've seen every possible thing go wrong, can go wrong, and it has. So that's why you get interesting questions at press conferences, things like that, and the players are like, because you got to remember, they haven't lived it. I always look at all of them as being fresh opportunities anyway, but that's just me. We'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Yeah, the Penguins will play tonight against the Capitals. Must win for the Pens. Penguins have to tighten up defensively. Sometimes, you know, I appreciate offensive aggressiveness a lot. Always have. But there are moments where the Penguins have been, they are not strong enough defensively to be so aggressive that they can make up for it with a quality defenseman. I'll give you a good example. When Michigan State in basketball won a national championship, part of their style during those years, they've had to change a little bit, was that they would send four people to the glass for offensive rebounding. I mean, they pounded the offensive glass. Why? Because they had Mateen Cleaves, who was a superior defender in transition, that would lay back. And then it was followed that up by Charlie Bell, and Charlie Bell was a superior defender in transition. That allowed them the luxury of sending four to the glass. The Penguins, now to a hockey reference, don't have that kind of defender that is so superior in transition that if they leave him back two-on-one, he'll make the right choice and force them into what they don't want to do. They don't have that guy. That guy does not exist on their roster. And that's where, right now, they're stuck. And it's got to be, look, they've got to attack, but then they've got to be aware, they've got to have two people back just in case. And that's where they've been burned. So many odd man rushes. It even happened in the Philadelphia series. In the Philadelphia series, odd man rushes. Like, what the heck are they doing here? Now, they got away with it. I mean, Washington has much more offensive skill in transition than Philadelphia does. How about having Dick Girardi on the show last week? Let's see. He took Justify. And I do believe that when, of course, I know when he took Justify. He took Justify back in February. You know, Dick got Justify at 40-1. Did you know that? 40-1 odds. I think he went off at 5-2 on Saturday. Well, Dick got him at 40-1.
Nice.
Oh, smart. Now, remember, Justify did not run as a two-year-old. So when you're out there getting and throwing down money on a horse that hadn't run as a two-year-old, it's impressive. Now, you know, then he watched his preliminary races. Whoa. Now, he ran against limited fields. 35 horses have won the Kentucky Derby and then gone on to win the Preakness. Four of the 31 happen to be Bob Baffert horses. Baffert, in fact, is 4-for-4 in his career so far in winning the Derby and then following with the Preakness. He's 4-for-4. So this horse has a trainer that understands how to get the horse physically ready to run again in 2 weeks. You've got an experienced jockey in Mike Smith, and I'm predicting for the Preakness a rather limited field. I would not be surprised if there are fewer than 10 horses at the Preakness. There are several people right away after the Derby run said, nah, might wait for the Belmont.
Yeah, that's been a pattern that Todd Pletcher has been doing the last several years.
Well, if he doesn't win it, he has to. And you can expect the Pletcher horses to be targeting the Belmont. It's not so hard to win the Triple Crown. I mean, three races in 5 weeks. It's the only time in their lifetime that any of these horses have to do that.